Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
Sozo, what's up, Sozo? How we feeling tonight? Are we good? Man, that was awesome, wasn't it? I'll tell you what, there's no family like the Sozo family. We are ones that we fight for each other, not against each other. We rally around one another. Somebody say, come on. That was awesome. Hey, if you're new here, I'm Pastor Ben, and I'm so glad that you're here. And look, we exist. The reason why we exist is so that all people can realize God loves them unconditionally. By the way, God loves you unconditionally. You could just go ahead, pat yourself on the back. Y'all did it. I didn't know if you were going to do it, but that was. I think it was more fun for me than it was for you. That was awesome. Thank you. And hey, look, humility, care, and connection is so big in our church. Humility, care, and connection. Listen, the reason why we say humility, care, and connection is because it's the way that we behave. We believe that if you'll live that out, it literally will lay a foundation for others to know that they belong and that they're family. That paves the way. And I just encourage you that's how we behave here. That's how we live. And if I haven't said it to you, welcome to the family. So if you're new tonight, just go ahead. Can everybody just give a good old clap? Welcome to our family. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and tell them family's a big deal. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them you're a big deal. That was weird and creepy. I know. It's cool. Hey, listen, as a family, we want you to know God. And here's how we know God. I'm going to make it so simple, so practical. Keep coming to Sozo on Wednesday night and show up on the weekend to church. We really believe this, that you will get all the tools and the resources that you need to grow in your relationship with Christ if you keep coming. Come on. Somebody just say, come on, because it feels good. Can we just say it one more time with power? Somebody say, come on. Oh, guys, I think we're going to have fun tonight. Is that cool? Okay. Hey, go ahead and pull out your Bibles, your B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Get out your Bibles, and if you didn't bring your Bible with you, but you brought your cell phone, that's cool. No sweat. Pull out the YouVersion Bible app. It's amazing. And let's go through the Bible together. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Again, if you're new to church, that's the very first book of the Bible, so we made it easy for you. Genesis 45. And I just want to encourage you tonight to take notes. Note takers are history makers. I really believe that with everything in me. Note takers are history makers. Tonight, we're gonna talk about forgiveness. Did you know that God, when he forgives, he forgets? Come on. Our God is so amazing. He's a God of second chances, third chances, 14 chances. He is so good. And he's a God that forgives because of his love for us. I love that. So tonight, we're going to talk about relational dynamics that are ultimately going to lead to forgiveness. And I think that you and I, we've got more relationships than we realize. And in relationships come relational dynamics, and the dynamics are the realities that come with having classmates and teachers and coaches in our life and people that ride the bus with us and carpool to school with us and sit next to us or play sports with us. We have relational dynamics. We got people that leave comments on our Instagram. Hello, somebody. And it's just the reality of relationships. But the dynamics of having relationships is we're not always going to see eye to eye with one another. There's always going to come a time where we've got to make the decision to forgive. And I want to jump in to this thought of forgiveness and relational dynamics. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph tonight. Now, these scriptures that we're about to read, if you're new to church, Joseph, he's an Old Testament character, right? And so we're going to go through the whole story of who he is and the journey that he goes through. But I want to look very seriously at some of the last things that he said towards the end of his life. He's going to reveal himself to his brothers after some disappointment, after some brokenness and some major hurt and with his brothers and their relationship. And so let's read together what Joseph says to his brothers after not seeing them for many years. Genesis 45, verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, And then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, real quick, by a show of hands, how many of us have ever had the thought of selling our sibling into slavery? Come on, you could be all, Ben, put your hand, I know. Okay, look, I'm not alone, but verse 5. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 in which there will be neither plowing or harvesting. Let's go farmer 101, right? And God sent me before you to preserve posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me father to the Pharaoh and a lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. This is so powerful. This is amazing. This is such a mature arrival that Joseph is coming to in his life. And we're going to go through his life very quickly, but I want to look sincerely here at these last words. And he's revealing himself to his brothers. He's not seen them in many years because years ago, his brothers, when he was young, they sold him into slavery. They got so mad and so upset with Joseph that out of 12 boys, he's number 11, and he's almost the youngest, and some stuff happens, and his brothers sell him into slavery. And so years later, instead of being mean and harsh and critical and judgmental, instead of being a bitter old man, he's now here looking at his brothers with such faith, such God confidence. He says, guys, you didn't send me here. God sent me here, and God led me here, and it was actually for your benefit. And I'll tell you that Joseph, all the days of his life, Joseph was a man of extreme integrity. And Joseph, towards the end of the years of his life, he was not a shell of the man that he was supposed to be, but he fully encompassed all that God had for him. And it was not, he was not out for his own gain, but he was out for the betterment and the improvement and the blessings of other people. I want to preach a message today, and I pray that you're taking notes. You could go ahead and write down the title of today's talk. It's called, How Do I Forgive? How in the world do I forgive? And I will tell you that the key to all relationships is forgiveness. In fact, any relationship that you are in, there's an opportunity for offense. And you've got to make the conscious decision to say, I'm going to be the person to forgive them when they wrong me, to when they betray me, even when they choose the Cleveland Browns over the Pittsburgh Steelers. You hate to see it. And I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to forgive them in Christ, because forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is not an event. Forgiveness is a lifestyle, and we live our lives forgiving and dispensing forgiveness. Why? Because we received so much forgiveness from Christ. And I just thank God that he's forgiven me of my decisions. He's forgiven you of your decisions. And come on, somebody, thank the Lord that he forgives us of our sins. Can we just bow our heads as we pray? And then we're going to jump into this. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it just encourages us tonight, Lord, that you help us with the realities of relationships, God. And I thank you for helping us with forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we're better together. We're the Sozo family. And Jesus, we just yield to you and we thank you. Everybody said together, amen. So now this is an amazing story. And I'm just going to go into this story. Basically, this is Genesis 37 through 45, and I'm going to give it to you as quick as I can. Y'all with me? Y'all ready? So here we go. We're just going to jump into the life of Joseph. Now, Joseph, he's number 11 out of 12 boys, and when he was younger, when he was in his youth, he has this dream, and how many of you guys love the dream? Let me see your hand real quick. You just love the dream. Can I be straight with you? When I close my eyes and I go to bed, I don't remember a single thing. I wake up, I'm like, what, for real? We're done? Like, no, like, I want to be in a cocoon. My wife, she's a dreamer. When she closes her eyes, she wakes up, she's got some of the craziest stories she could ever tell for days. And she's a dreamer. Now Joseph, he's a dreamer, and he's young, and he's dreaming, and he comes to his siblings, and he shares this with them, and it creates massive sibling rivalry. Nah, that's not what you want. And so Joseph had this dream, and he tells his brothers, and he's like, hey, y'all, this is crazy because you were serving me, like y'all feeding me grapes. It was so good, amazing, like right off the vine, and you guys were serving, and his brothers got mad. Shoot, if one of my brothers told me that, I'd be like, I'm gonna kill you. Anybody with me? Come on. You could tell the truth. We're in church. And so Joseph, he has this, he has another dream, and basically it implies almost the same thing. And so he's already the youngest, and so he's treated better. Anybody in here the youngest person in your family? Okay, I'm not. I just raised my hand. I don't know why. It's tied to the microphone. And okay, anybody in here the middle child or the middle-ish? Okay, anybody in here the oldest? Okay, everybody that raised their hands the first time, we're all looking at you because we know that you're baby Jesus in the family. You get the best treatment. We all know. And so he's already the youngest. He's treated better. And he's got this crazy cool coat that looks like a cross colors jacket from the 90s. What is that? Check it out. I'm a 90s baby. I got this picture for you. Yeah, he looks fly. It's coming back. You just all wait. It all comes back. It'll cycle through. And so he's this cool younger brother, and he's having these dreams, and where the older brothers, they're going to bow down to him and serve him. Now, Joseph, he's not calculated with his dreams. He shares them openly, and because of this, his brothers get so angry and so mad that they go on this mission trip type deal, and while they're away, the dad's worried about the brothers, and so this is way before technology and cell phones and Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi, and so like you can't stop at McDonald's and like connect to the Wi-Fi to send a text, but dad, I'm okay, it's okay, I'm good, I'm safe. No, like you can't do it. And so he sends Joseph to go check on him. And when he gets down to his brothers are like, hey, here's Joe. Let's kill him, let's take him out. And so translation, if you don't share your dreams with the right people, that stuff will get you in a mess of drama. Let me say it this way. If you don't share it with the right people, that stuff will get you cut, son. Come on, you laugh, it's true. And so these guys are so upset, they fake Joseph's death. They put some blood of an animal on the cross-colored jacket. They rip it all up and they throw him into a pit, and they actually sell their brother into slavery. And I'm going to give you a few things to write down today that I believe is going to encourage you on the reality of our relationships. You can go ahead and write down the first thought today. Be careful with your dreams. Share them with people that are for you and with you. Joseph, he learned this the hard way. He thought, wait a second, these people are with me, so because they're with me, surely they got to be for me. Can I encourage you today that there are people that are living life with you and sharing space with you, but they're not actually for you? Come on, they're riding the bus with you. They're sitting next to you in school. Come on, they're playing sports with you, but they're not actually for you. Be careful who you share your dreams with. Your dreams are to be hidden. Your dreams are for close proximity. Your dreams are for you, God, and the people that are closest next to you. There's that old saying, loose lips sink ships. You gotta say it so slowly, you never know what will come out of you. You know what I'm saying? And so Joseph, he's learning lessons to who he should share his dreams with. Sharing what God is downloading to your heart at the right time in the right moment is one of the most crucial realities to every single relationship. And Joseph gets himself sabotaged, but it's actually self-sabotage. He shouldn't have shared this in the manner of which he shared it. So he convoluted and confused that, wait a minute, all these guys are with me, so translation, they should be for me. No, you've got to always decipher and discern the people that are with you and that are for you. And I'll just tell you this about Victory Family Church. I'll tell you this about Sozo, that we're not just with you, we're for you. We believe in you. We're going to champion your dream. We're going to pray over your dream. We're going to ignite your dream. Come on. You got small group leaders that are assigned to you for a year that are believing in you, praying for you, and believing the best for you. Somebody say, come on. I know we had this super cool worship set that was fly. Is that even a thing? I don't know. But come on, we can have some energy in here. Come on, if you're committed to being that kind of person in this church, it's not just for leaders, it's for all of us. We're family together. And so Joseph's like, sharing my dream didn't work out, and now he's in a pit, and he gets sold into slavery, and this guy in Egypt, his name's Potiphar, he comes rolling by in his Benz, you know, hey, what's up, girl? And he sees this old Hebrew kid, right? And he's like, he's rolling by, he's like, how much? I'm gonna buy him. How much? No, for real, I'm serious. I'm gonna buy that kid. Like, how much? And so now Joseph is a slave in Potiphar's house. This is so amazing because God's got favor and grace on Joseph. He gets promoted to being fully trusted with all of Potiphar's house. And I'll just tell you that when you've got favor on your life, God knows how to get you where he wants you to be. Come on. When you got favor on your life, it's undeniable. Everybody around you can see it. It's tangible. It's something that is so real. And let me just correct the thought real quick. You got favor on your life. Come on, if you made Jesus Christ Lord of you, of lords and Lord over your life, you got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you got the wind of heaven on your back. Come on. You're a child of God. You got favor. And here's the thing about favor. It ain't fair. You got the upper hand. Holler at your boy. Yeah, you do. And so now he's got favor. He gets promoted so quickly. And so Potiphar, he's got a lot of things, but you know one of the things he doesn't have is he doesn't have a wife that's in check. And so she comes in, she's like, Joe, it's Valentine's Day, Joe, and I ain't into my man, I'm into you, Joe. And she's macking on Joe. In fact, the Bible says that every day Potiphar's wife is trying to wear him down. You know, isn't it amazing that the devil doesn't try to tempt you once a week, he tries to tempt you every single day? And so... here's Potiphar's wife trying to wear him down, and Joseph says something so profound. Joseph, again, is a man of God. His integrity prevails him all of his life. And now Joseph looks at Potiphar's wife, and he says, your husband trusted me. I'm now number two in this house, and how dare I go against your husband? But how dare I go against God? My God, what if some of us started looking at opportunities to sin and we started going, I don't want to just go against so-and-so. I don't want to go against God. I don't want to hurt God's heart. If it's going to break God's heart, why do you think it'll fulfill yours? How can I go against God? And how now he's in this position and it's so conflicting. He doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know where to turn. And the second thing that Joseph's life would tell us, and out of relationships that ultimately lead to forgiveness, and I just encourage you, write down thought number two. Don't be too quick to trust unproven relationships, but throw your everything into proven people. The Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly. Translation, before you really trust people, get to know people. Come on, you ever see a new relationship in school and they're just like, it's been 2 days and they're dropping the L-bomb already and you're like, we get it. All right, you love each other. You don't even know, bro. And they're just dropping, and you know from experience that they spend 2 days dropping the L-bomb. Like, come on, too fast, too quick, mate. And so Joseph is teaching us something so big here. In fact, Joseph, he's too trusting, isn't he? Because Joseph should have gone to Potiphar and said, bro, like, I hate to tell you this. I don't know the history between you and your marriage and all that's going on, but bro, like, your wife is really digging me. And she doesn't dig you. It's awkward, like, for both of us. This is weird. And because he's too trusting, he gets himself in more trouble. In fact, one day Joseph walks into the house and the two of them are alone inside the house. And he's alone in the house with a married woman. And Potiphar's wife is so desperate for him that she lunges at him. And he runs away and he leaves his jacket behind. And she goes, okay, Joe. Oh, that's how you want to play, Joe? Okay. Okay, so she goes to the other servants. She grabs the cross-colored jacket that he left, and she's like, guys, guess what? Guys, this guy, Joseph, tried to seduce me. Like that guy, the slave kid, you know, the Hebrew boy, he tried to take me in bed with him. And she tells an untruthful statement, and he's lied about. Potiphar comes home, and Potiphar, he's so upset. Not only has Joseph been betrayed by his brothers, but now he's been betrayed by Potiphar's wife. And so Joseph he's now thrown in the prison. What kind of life is this kid living? Like, are you telling me, God, that you're going to give me some amazing dream and then I'm going to be put into a pit? And then I'm going to be a slave in Potiphar's house and now I'm in prison? This doesn't match up, God. Why in the world would you give me such a magnificent dream for my life and yet I have to face such severe consequences? Why in the world do my circumstances not line up with my calling? That's not fair, God. And now he's in prison for something he didn't even do. And while he's in prison, it's such an amazing story because he's in prison, but he still has favor. And he's in prison, but you know what? He keeps a positive attitude. I just love that. When you realize that there's a call of God on your life, you refuse to let circumstances determine your faith, but you let your faith determine circumstances. Instead of letting moments define you, you define the moment. And Joseph's like, while he's in prison, he makes friends and they make this commitment together. And he's like, okay, here's the deal. If I get out, you get out. You get out, I get out, right? And so they make like this agreement and they do like a secret handshake and they're like some spit on it, you know what I'm saying? And high five and maybe down below, maybe they do like fist pump and they blow it up and they're like, and so now Joseph is thinking, he's like this. He's like, wow, great, because we made the pact. We sealed the deal. We made the agreement. And because we're such good friends, I'm friends with the chief butler, like, right, this is great now, because if he gets out, I get out, and this is going to be awesome. And the Bible says that actually when the chief butler, his friend, gets out, he forgets about Joseph. Read this in Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. Watch what the Bible says here. It says, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Wait a second, you were supposed to remember me. Oh, you were my ticket out. You were my way out of this mess. Hey, I just want to encourage you, and you could write down the next thought, and I just love this. People may forget you along the way, but remember, your promotion is in God's hands, not theirs. Oh, I believe this with all my heart. Your promotion is not in man, because if someone could give it to you, someone can take it away. But if God gives it to you, no one can take it away. In fact, you ought to be encouraged. Because if somebody forgets you along their path to success, that's an indicator that God's timing is working in your life and it works best. God knows when to lift you up. God knows when to take you from obscurity to prominence. God knows when you're ready. Stop trusting in man's plan for your life and put your life in God's hands. You've got the King of Kings. You got the Lord of Lords. You got the wind of heaven at your back. God didn't forget you. God didn't forget you. I just feel like telling somebody that tonight. God didn't forget you. I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know. Maybe people have forgotten you. Maybe your dad forgot you. God did not forget you. So Joseph, he's in prison and his friend's gone. He's stuck in jail. And the Bible says Potiphar was a ruler within a kingdom, and the ruler of a kingdom is this guy named Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has a dream. His dream is so crazy, he can't solve the riddle. He can't figure it out, and he's asked multiple people. He's going down the line, and he gets to this guy, and someone says, hey, you know what? I know this guy. I know this kid. He's in prison, and I'm pretty sure he knows how to solve these kind of cases. And so he's brought before the king, and the king tells him, he's like, this is my dream. And Joseph is able to interpret the dream through the Spirit of God. He interprets the dream, and this is the dream. The dream that you had represents 7 years of abundance and then 7 years of famine. And Joseph says, well, God is saying to you, king, and respectfully, I want to tell you that this land, your land, is gonna have 7 years of insane prosperity. It's gonna rain, like it's gonna be so good. But then directly after that, there's going to be 7 years of famine. Pharaoh's so blown away by this young man. He's, oh, so obviously there's favor on your life and there's something special. And this guy, Joseph, goes from prison to the palace overnight. Now he's the second in command of not only Potiphar's house, but he's the second in command of the king house. And he brings him in. He even gets like this signet ring. It's awesome. He's the boss. 7 years, Joseph is in charge of stocking the blessings. Stocking the good, stocking the abundance. 7 years, just like God said through Joseph, the famine starts. And now we're in the second year of the famine, and all of a sudden from all of the respected areas, everywhere surrounding Egypt, people start coming in. And guess what? Lo and behold, who comes to Egypt but Joseph's brothers? It's been years since they sold this kid into slavery. Years since they went back to their dad, Jacob, and they said, Jacob, we're sorry, but we lost one of the 12, your favorite. He's dead. So now he's here years later, and he's second in command, and he's there, and he's got favor in this house. And in fact, you could just write down thought number 4. Follow your favor. Follow your favor. We're not going to unpack this tonight, but I just want to encourage you, write that down. Follow your favor. So Joseph, he follows his favor, and he's in this place. He's in the palace. He's number two in the whole entire kingdom. And all of a sudden, he comes and here's the brothers asking for food. All these years later, so many twists and turns and trials and heartache. Lo and behold, these years, it's his brothers. They can't even recognize him, but he recognizes them. And what do? They come in and bow down before his throne, and the dream comes to pass. And watch what he does. Joseph doesn't look at them and say, "What'd I tell you? See? Huh? Would you look at it? That's a God dream." No, he doesn't. Before he even tells them, "Hey, guys, it's me, it's Joe." You know, the Bible says that he goes back into a room behind the corner and he actually begins to weep. Because sometimes when you forgive people, it doesn't mean it didn't hurt. That God never asked you to remove your emotions from the decision. I make the decision to forgive because that doesn't mean that it didn't hurt what they said and what they did and how they treated me. I'm not diminishing that. But he goes, "Guys, I don't know how to tell you this." He begins to reveal himself and he's like, "It's me, it's Joseph. And I know that you might be dealing with some shame and some condemnation and maybe you think I'm gonna hurt you. Maybe you even think I'm gonna cut you, bro. But guys, I gotta tell you that you didn't do this to me. God did this to me. God got me here. You weren't in control of the destiny of my life. God was in control of the destiny of my life." And he actually spins this whole thing and this is how you get deliverance from your hurts. When you actually allow what the enemy intended to harm you and you turn it around and let God use it for the good. He's actually saying, you tried to take me out. And what the devil tried to use to hurt me, come on, God used it to redeem me and to promote me. And I wouldn't be here today if you hadn't said what you said and did what you did. And I allowed the kingdom of God to do a work in my life. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. But there are people that are here today that you've got a dream and it hasn't come to pass and you're asking, "God, why won't you do something in my life?" And it's about your decisions to be integrous all the days of your life so that you can be a candidate for what God has for you. I don't know who I'm encouraging. Can the worship team, could you come out and join me? And we're going to close on this. Number five, you could write this down. The key to all relationships is forgiveness. It's the key. It's the foundation. It's the way that we get to the place we want to be. What happens if you get to your God dream and you've got all these broken relationships, you left these people behind and enemies and frenemies and it's just a mess and all these people that you've silenced and old sibling rivalries. That'll do us no good to be in the call of God that he has for us. I want to stand in my God dream whole. Happy, delivered, forgiving, gracious, kind. I don't know where you're at today, but can I tell you that you can't get from point A to point B with bitterness in your heart? It's like poison. I read this story and I think to myself, I'm like, "God, let me be like Joseph. God, you didn't get me here. God got me here. And by the way, this was for your betterment. This wasn't for me to be a king. This was to preserve your life." You can always tell it's a God dream because it's not you that benefits, it's others. I read this story, I think to myself, "God, let me be like Joseph, a person that's marked with grace and forgiveness and kindness. God, let me see others as you see them. Even when they hurt me, even when they betray me, even when they minimize my call. God, let me see him as you see him. Let me be a person that's marked with forgiveness." It's the key to relationships. Relationships might be messy. But you know, I've got the greatest relationship with Jesus. I might not be able to trust so-and-so with my dream, but you know who I can trust? Jesus. I can share all my successes and all my failures with him. You can trust proven people, you know, proven people. But you know who's really proven? Jesus. He's the good shepherd. I'm thankful that some people might forget me, but Jesus, He'll never forget me. Come on, in fact, the Bible says that Jesus says, never will I forget you, never will I leave you. He's a God that remembers. Be thankful that you'll never be forgotten by Jesus. He's the Savior of the universe. He's the chief cornerstone. Forgiveness is the key to all relationships. And yes, it's the key to my relationship with Jesus. Are you thankful today, Sozo, for who he is? Can we stand to our feet? In a moment, we're going to go back into a song. I just want to encourage you to lean in. I just felt like reminded somebody tonight. Forgiveness is hard. I don't want to minimize that. Forgiveness doesn't mean that what they said and what they did is okay. But forgiveness releases you into your God-given potential. And I believe that tonight, if we'll come to Jesus, the Bible says, boldly approach the throne of grace and ask for more. I believe tonight that if we come and we worship God and we give him all that we have, if you'll allow God to do a work where we're broken, he will mend you, he will heal you, supernaturally make you stronger. Can we just come on up? Can we circle around as we go back into the song and just begin to worship God? And I just pray that if you've got something in your heart and you're like, God, would you take...